Gunnarsson trying to touch after it. It's kicked loose and comes out of the zone. Move to Shen. Partial break. Shoots. He scores! Bring out the Zamboni. Braden Shen has won the game in overtime for the Blues.
Chris Kerber, voice of the Blues here on the Blues Radio Network, 101 ESPN. You can hear Kerbs, Joey Vitale, and Alex Ferrario Wednesday night. We've got Blues Avalanche Game 1 pregame starting at 8:30. Let's head to the Brown and Krugman Celebrity Line where we hope, fingers crossed, that we can hear Braden and Braden can hear us. Braden, are you there?
I think so.
Yeah!
I think
you're good. Atta boy, meet.
Braden, we apologize, man. We didn't pay the phone bills. We thought you were going to cover that coming on the show with us, but we got it all paid. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. Yeah, it's all good. Thanks for having me.
No problem. I just thought maybe you kept hanging up because you wanted to keep hearing Chris Kerber returns with your goals on him.
Yeah, that sounds like me, eh, Rip? Yeah.
Exactly. Now, hey, listen, man, unique situation this year, obviously starting the season in mid-January, which none of us have ever experienced. What's been the biggest hurdle for you guys just getting up to speed for the regular season to start on Wednesday?
I think early on was just obviously a lot of the unknown. You know, when you're in your not summer training mode, but off-season training mode, you have the unknowns of try not to overtrain or try not to undertrain. You didn't really have a timeline of when you kind of really should be ready. And I guess we kind of guys started filing in here, skating as a group, and we feel like we're ready. You know, after a short training camp, you knew the time even before training camp was important, and it's going to be a 50-game sprint, and I think we're ready for it.
Now, can you even tell the difference with it, as unique as it has been? You kind of laid it out right there, but the difference of how you feel starting a season now, a truncated training camp, as opposed to like a normal year. Like, do you feel any different? Is there a level of readiness that's different? I mean, where are you at right now?
I mean, I don't think you really know until you start playing games, right? I think, you always feel good in the gym and you feel you're in shape, and then you get on the ice and you think you're out of shape, and then you feel good in practice, and then you play a game or two and you feel like you're out of game shape. So it just comes with time and timing. And like I said, I think we've had intense practices, intense training camp, but nothing kind of resembles, regular season hockey. You know, we had a couple of inter-squad games, stuff like that. The intensity for sure is there at times. At the same time, you're not as physical or battling probably essentially as hard as you would against another opponent. So that's all going to come with time and playing games. And I think as a group, we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, so that's the thing, right, is you can, like you said, in the gym, you feel great. You get on the ice, you're flying around. You feel pretty good about yourself, tucking a few top shelf, no big deal. But then, some of the regular season rigors that you can't simulate are, the pushback from an opponent, the constant banging, the resistance that you have. As much as you try to simulate that in inner squad or scrimmages, which guys are going hard, but guys aren't going out there, it's just never quite the same. So you guys have a unique situation here to where you have to play your first game, and it's going to be back-to-back scenario, and you're going to Denver, to Colorado, play Mile High, where the air is a little bit thinner. Is there anything different that you guys have been doing leading up to that, or is there a certain strategy that Chief has talked about, shorter shifts, less struggles, ice the puck if we have to, anything like that?
I mean, there's really nothing you can do. Summing up, skating in altitude, chasing around McKinnon all night, that's something you can really
it's always fun.
Resemble at the Centene. But I think what we're going to have to be smart and kind of rely on is, what we're going to have to rely on all year, and that's depth of our hockey team, rolling four lines. It's a cliche, but short shift, especially in your first one, you usually use preseason and stuff like that to get into it, get your legs underneath you. And like I said, you're going into altitude where it's way harder playing hockey, and let alone the first game of the season. So, I think obviously with Colorado, they probably have a slight advantage just because they've been skating in it for a while, and it's going to be new to us. But at the same time, like I said, we'll rely on our depth and being smart about how we're playing.
Blues forward Braden Shen joining us right now on the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Braden, we've been talking a lot about the youngster Jordan Kyrou. He's seemingly having a really nice training camp from the outside. You're on the inside, though. How's the kid look?
Yeah, it looks good. He looks good. Obviously, we all know the speed and skill that he brings, and he showed it that in junior and then in the AHL. So he's competing hard. He's battling hard, and he's definitely had a great camp and looks impressive. So hopefully that translates into the season coming up here. And obviously, he's a huge part of our future and a huge part of our team, and hopefully keeps on making steps to improve.
All right, Shinner, since the last time we talked to you, and we talked to Colton Parayko about this last week too, the jersey's gotten a little bit heavier, right? You got the letter A on there now. I mean, you're kind of a big dog on this team. What changes at all for you? I understand that leadership is just something that comes natural to you, but do you feel any larger sense of responsibility now that the letter is actually going to be there?
No, I mean, I think you just kind of keep on being who you are and playing the game that kind of, I guess, got you there or got you to this point anyways. I think as leaders, or there's lots in our locker room, but I'll just, the three or four of us, I think you kind of have to continue the culture of what's being built here for the past however many years, right? We aren't considered, an A market, but for whatever reason, we know the reason why, but is why they've been so competitive. And that's, team first mentality, guys taking care of one another. And, I think us as, I guess, older guys on the team have to continue that moving forward for years. And it's kind of the next man up mentality. And that's kind of how they've got the job done here and why they've been successful for the past 10 or 15 years.
Braden, talking about leadership and taking guys under your wing and teaching them the right ways, obviously you have that just in your DNA. That's part of it. But I'm sure along the way, guys have helped you and done that for you. Like who have been those guys? Who kind of taught you the way to go about things and you usher it on to the next group of guys?
Yeah, I mean, in LA, I didn't really get a whole lot of time there, so it was a little bit different. Actually, I roomed with Kyle Clifford when we were both young. We were both 18, so obviously that's not we're kind of in the same boat there. But I think once I got to Philadelphia, guys that really stick out was, Scott Hartnell was really one guy that kind of took me underneath his wing. I lived with Claude Giroux. Giroux was probably three or four years older than me, so he was in the league for a little bit, but. There's many guys that have been very good to me. Like I said, I think Hartnell's a guy that sticks out. He was just kind of he was in the prime of his career scoring. I think he scored 37 goals my first year. And being an old guy and a veteran guy on the team, I don't think you have to go out of your way and help young guys at all. But he certainly did, and he definitely took care of me, and I'll always remember that and still talk to him to this day.
So let's circle back to Kyle Clifford. First of all, we've tried to nickname him Big Red Dog. I'm not sure if he'll like
Skip
that.
Skip the dog, just Big Red.
Big Red?
Yeah.
Big Red. So I'm not sure if you guys can work on that in the locker room, see if he figures it out. He's got kids. He should know what that is. But nonetheless, he's a guy you guys picked up in the offseason. Something that Doug Armstrong circled saying, you know what? We kind of missed having a guy like this that plays that role to, like Scotty Bowman used to say, keep the flies away from some of the other guys. And, how has that transition been for Kyle Clifford? And how well is he fitting in with the group so far?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously tough with, obviously you're at the rink and you get to know the guys and stuff like that. But I think where you get to really know your teammates is, kind of outside having a beer or two or going out for dinner or whatever it is, right? And with COVID and stuff like that, you kind of go to the rink and go home. So for me personally, I know him, so I've always gotten along with him. But I think in our locker room, I think guys are really, really going to like him. He's a team first guy. Guys spoke highly of him in the LA, and he did his job to a T there for so long. And he's one of those guys that knows his role. He knows exactly what he's bringing to the table. And he's actually got a lot of skill for a big man too. So we're looking forward to having him. It's always nice having a guy that can play, but also if he needs to take care of business, and he definitely brings that element to our team.
Yeah, that's like Scotty Bowman used to say, keep the flies off the good players, which is, I often got stuck with that one. Hey, Rivs, keep the flies off of Datsuk, would you? But anyways, yeah. You're a centerman by trade, and you've played lots of wing in the past, and you've kind of gone back and forth. But as of right now, you're on that left wing. What's the biggest challenge for you? What are some of the adjustments you have to make in order to play the wing more full time?
I still, obviously working on it. I think obviously, kind of talked about it. Center comes natural to me, but I think as wing compared to center, I think wing, you're maybe a little bit away from the puck a little bit more. I find like little things at center, you're just kind of being close support for D-men where kind of always all over the puck, maybe even, you know, start, it gets you into the game with taking face off, stuff like that. So those are some adjustments playing wing to center, but at the same time, still playing with great players, good opportunities. So just got to try and make the most of it.
Hey, I wanted to go back talking about the relationships that you build. Like on the road, you used to be able to, you know, go out to eat, go to these you know, different cities, do a lot of things. What the hell do you get to do on the road now? Like, because I know that you guys spent the time in the bubble, but this isn't even technically like the bubble. Like, what is this going to look like?
It's going to be like tomorrow. Fly there, sit in the hotel, have a dinner. You can't even use like the lobby restaurants or lobby bars or whatever it may be. You kind of have to have your own team meal room and people serve you kind of like behind plexiglass and all that. And you kind of hang out there, go up and sit in your room, and then game day is game day. And then kind of on the off days is kind of the same thing. I think you're allowed to go for a walk. You're allowed to do curbside pickup, I believe, but you know, you can't even go into Starbucks and grab a coffee. It's just kind of I guess unless it is curbside pickup, but it's one of those things where it is what it is. You deal with it, and essentially this year is all about playing hockey, and that's really what it's all about. And you got to do your part as a guy to keep COVID out of the locker room, out of the organization, and so hopefully we'll be smart about it.
What do you think those mini bar bills are going to look like?
Yeah, I mean,
it's okay. Chief doesn't listen to us. Go ahead.
I guess when the bubble guys are having their beers, having their fun, but at the same time, when it's ready to show up and get to work, I think that's going to be important. And the thing is, too, it's so much hockey. You're playing every second day, so recovery is obviously huge. And it might be boring at times, but you're going to kind of find ways to, whether it's playing cards with each other or kind of killing time in the hotel. It is what it is, and like I said, it's better doing that than sitting home and doing nothing. So
play hard now, play hard later, right, Schenner? Attaboy.
That's right.
Hey, Braden, sorry for the issues with the phone earlier, but thanks for sticking with us, and we can't wait to see what you guys do starting on Wednesday night.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks for having me anytime.